So here we are today, everyone. It is December the 15th, 10 days before Christmas. And we approach this day with all the joy and gladness in our heart that is reminiscent of all the Christmases past and all the Christmases we hope for. But there's also a tone of sadness that we want to address today in memorial for the sweet children that were lost in the massacre 2 days ago, and of many of their teachers and those left behind, their loved ones, and all of us who were wondering why? What, and what do we do now? How do we deal with this? How do we possibly live with this? And so we do want to dedicate our blessing today to specifically those who are harmed and lost, and those who are feeling lost because of the loss, and all of us wondering, what do we do about it? How do we think about this? How do we move forward? And I think it's a really big issue for all of us, especially in the United States, where we have been so protected from terrorism and the kind of ongoing wars and disruptions and raids that happen so many other places in the world. For example, on the same day that the school massacre happened, 30 children in China were killed by a similar maniac who just slashed them to death. We don't hear about that. And it's so far away, we have a kind of disconnection with it. And now we are forced to realize this can happen in our own community, our own children. And not just even to our own children, our own community, but a community that embodies the quiet, peaceful, hometown, Norman Rockwell type of values and lifestyle that we associate with old America. And I think that there is a tragedy that brings a message that we all must look at, and we must all move beyond. So I would love to have, if there are any of you that have lamentations or requests or tributes that you would like to make, our message board is open for discussion. And as we move through this call, I will, of course, give you my thoughts about all of this and where I think we should take this and join in our hearts with this situation. Sharon, I see you're on the message board, so welcome. You're on. Yeah.
This is Sharon from Connecticut. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Well, I'm a Spiritist minister, and I have was in the first Christ Blessing training, so that has been a real blessing during this time because I was able to do the blessing during this time. I have been a psychotherapist for almost 40 years, and I have a gift of being able to connect with those on the other side. So I already work with many parents who have lost their children, and I can hear messages from the children, you know, for their parents. So during a time like this, I'm very touched because I have held so many parents' hands and hearts during the unbelievable kind of loss. The morning of the massacre, I didn't know about it, but I had no energy in my body, and I actually had to go to bed, and I didn't know what was going on. I often do, I think, when I sleep, help people from this earth, especially children, pass over to the other side. And I think what I could see I was doing was I was actually there in some way, in some fashion, helping these children connect with the angels to rise to the other side. And I think that we have, you know, this wonderful, as one of the fathers said on the news, we have this wonderful gift of free will, and we need to, like Jeshua always speaks about, we need to use that to choose love at every opportunity we can. And I think during this time of the holy days, the holiday, you know, that we as spiritist ministers and Christ blessing community, that we hold this light and this love for so many now. And I think also when I look at these children, as I have seen all the children that have passed over early in life, many of the parents I work with, their children have died of cancer or accidents and so forth, I see such pure angels in these children, almost just as if they had a contract to be angels here for a while, and then in their leaving, leave that opening in our hearts for the whole world in order for them to, for us to prize the innocence and the preciousness of all life. And Yeshua speaks of the innocence, and if you could speak some about the innocence that these children are touching our hearts with, Glenda, I would really love that.
Oh, Karen, I think everything you said was beautifully presented, and I share your thoughts completely. That I'm actually going to go ahead and mute your call because there's some background noise, Sharon, and I hope that you have completed what you wanted to say, because I can't imagine saying any better than you did. It says in the scriptures that the innocent shall lead the way. A child shall lead the way. And I think that's because so many times we as adults are embedded in one drama after another. Even the positive events of our life can come in a rather dramatic way, and we even process them as an adventure with an unresolved ending. We have games that we play around them. Sometimes we think that we achieved great things because of the great game we played, when really, ultimately, our value in life comes from the innocence that our soul can bring to the level of this earth. And this is what Yeshua lived for, died for, transcended for, was resurrected for, is that presence of innocence on the earth. And he said, "Suffer not the little children that they should come to me." And he compared the kingdom of heaven to that of a little child. And all of these scriptures and images of the great teaching that I've just given you really exemplify the fact that there is a place in the heart of all of us that is innocent. And I think perhaps in the wake of an event like this, we are challenged to be in that place within our own heart and to find it and to return back to that place so that we may perfect and more responsibly use this magnificent gift of free will that the great God of creation has given us. And we see so many horrible events now, but I think we have to also take into account that our news is not presenting all the good events. And we see the terrible exaggerations of the few villains and maniacs that come to our attention, and we don't see the saints and the wonder workers that are out there making life better. And so in all things, behooves us to put things in perspective. And that's not to say that I'm taking any measure of compassion away from this event that happened. But we should be very careful that we do not allow villainy to then determine our next decision through making us more afraid, through causing us to enter hate and judgment and defensiveness. You see, I felt a lot of that beginning to happen after 9/11 with the Homeland Security Act and people being so carefully searched in the airports, and the airports began to look like a the outskirts of a military police action. And I was beginning to think, oh, my heavens, what has happened to our beautiful land of trust, joy, and creativity? Well, slowly over the years, much of that subsided because the American spirit still is so strongly entrenched in faith in God, faith in one another, in love, in courage, and in knowing that it's through doing the right thing and following life in the living that we preserve our heritage, and that we create even beyond our heritage to something more important. Yes, events like this are horrible, and it's appropriate that we grieve. And it's perhaps even appropriate at this moment that we don't even move into hasty, thoughtless forgiveness, because we really don't know what motivated this young man to do what he did. But what we can do is reserve judgment, and we can reserve hatred, and we can put our thoughts instead on assisting these precious little angels to heaven and to a permanent place in our hearts. We can take the best possible action. We can remain in our courage. We can remain in our faith. We can focus upon the things we love, because let's face it, folks, we have been very privileged in the United States to not have more of this. But just imagine if you lived in one of the countries in the Middle East or North Africa, what you would be facing every day. And there are people there who literally are saints, that in the midst of that, they can still love one another. In the midst of that, they still have courage to go out to the streets and distribute food. They still have the courage to assemble the children into schools. They still have the courage to join with the wounded in the hospital and try to heal whatever they can. Those are the people we need to be focusing on, not the occasional maliciously or insanely driven, destructive individual who's lost his way. And yes, we pray for all that have lost their way, as Yeshua would have. But I would say, let's pray for him to be in the hands of God and be in the determination of the courts of heaven, and neither judge, condemn, nor feel compelled to even figure him out. Because what we need to figure out is ourselves. How can we now love beyond this? How can we now hold the courage to move forward without compromising our values, without lowering our belief in free will? God so believes in our love, in our basic goodness, and in our right to free will, that despite occasional events like this, he doesn't take our free will away from us. He honors the best that we are. Now let us have the courage to continue honoring those who showed up, that all of the caregivers, the policemen, the teachers that came in, the social workers, the psychologists, the doctors, the nurses, the ambulance drivers, the parents, all the people that showed up as an act of unified love and compassion. That's what we need to focus on, to give them strength to continue doing all the healing work that they do. And to thank God that we have less of this than almost any other place in the world. We have another caller right now. That is from area code 321, and you're on.
Hi, it's Scott from Orlando.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, even though it's awful, could I please express something I'm grateful for?
Yes.
Something the master said. He said if it happens to one, it happens to all.
Absolutely.
And it could convey something to me that, you know, you can connect to Heavenly Father and share that burden. You know, I mean, by prayer, have things go to the, you know, go to the good, go to the nurturing and the healing. And if it wasn't for that, I would experience only darkness. But instead, I get to feel, you know, opportunity to not just be in darkness, to make that connection.
Absolutely. And do not go to the darkness. That is not where the answers lie. You know, a little bit to answer a little bit to your question, or to respond to your comment, I should say, and Sharon's. The morning that I did not know till about 12:30 or 1 about this event, but I woke up in the morning, which here in Arizona was a few hours after it happened, but I was very weak on my feet, and I made some coffee, and the coffee didn't make any difference. And I thought, well, I better get something to eat. And I ate just something very light, and it almost, I became actually kind of nauseous. Not sickly nauseous, but queasy in my stomach, like I thought, I can't eat anymore. What's wrong? And so I just had a glass of water, and the glass of water was a little too much even. So I just sat down, and I sat quietly. And I had to go to a couple of meetings that morning, so for a while I didn't think about it, but I was totally drained at the time that I heard about it. And I had to go to town right then, got in my car. The car wouldn't turn over, the starter wouldn't turn over, but then it did crank. I drove it for about two blocks and it died. And then later in the day, after I went through that ordeal and got back home, I was having a late lunch with my husband. I choked on a piece of meat and almost, I mean, I almost just completely lost my breath. And the irritant in my throat was so bad I couldn't speak the rest of the day. And I was kind of grateful that I couldn't speak because after hearing the news, I didn't know what to say. But I think that what I'm expressing is that through empathy, we all were very directly affected, even on a physical, emotional level, even though it didn't happen in like kind. It would have played out according to the situations in our part of the world, or our life uniquely as it is. I think that Scott is absolutely right, especially when something of this magnitude happens. There's a ripple effect, and it happens to all of us. And I think that the decisions we make around what do we do now also affect all of us, whether we turn to the light or whether we turn to the dark. There were many people in that town who went and took down their Christmas lights. Personally, I would not have done that because I think that it is almost as if to say we've lost our faith in God. We take down our lights. Now, I think it's very appropriate to lower the flag to half-mast because that's an honor. That's an honor for the departing souls that we love. But we do have a choice now, my friends, and that is we face the light or we face the darkness. And this is what I want to bring into the blessing today and why I went to such lengths to evolve this message through your contributions, because we all have, I would say, maybe divided feelings about this. It's a horrible thing that happened. Something that should not be lent any consent whatsoever. And yet we want to pay tribute and love and care and the tenderest thoughts of care for the sweet children passing on and their parents feeling a gaping wound. I can only imagine what they feel. And so let us have courage, let us have faith, and let us use the love within ourselves to bless and continue blessing all of the choices we make and all of the paths on which we walk, regardless of what is happening and regardless of what events have happened to us. Remember that we, as souls, incarnated to have an earthly experience. But as souls in the heart of God, all is well. All has always been well, and all will always be well. And let us remember that. But it is up to us to choose the path on which we now walk. Every step of the way, we make choices. And let us not allow villains to make the choices for us. Let us learn from Yeshua. When he was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." All through life, he placed his focus upon those who would most easily benefit by the love he brought to the earth. And to the rest, he basically said, "They will learn in due time. Let them live as they live. Give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Give unto God that which belongs to God. Let those come to me who are ready in their faith." And when he healed, he would always acknowledge that it is by your faith that you're made whole. And so he was always keenly aware of those who were ready through their faith to receive the higher blessing of love and of light that he had to offer. I think we have time for another question, so I'm going to open up the line, but we need to keep it fairly short. It's from area code 774. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Glenda. I just want to say thank you for saying what you said just now, especially about the Christmas lights being taken down. I'm glad that you said that you wouldn't do that, because I think a lot of people, when things like this happen, fall into the victimhood of it rather than see or feel that they can actually do something about it. I posted on Facebook something I thought was very sweet. And it was Mr. Rogers, and he remembered when he was a young boy. He would see things on the news, and he asked his mother, he said, "You know, these things make me sad to hear these bad things." And his mother said, "They are sad." She said, "But look for the good people." She said to him, "Look for the people who are doing something about it, who are doing something good in spite of the fearfulness of it." And he said that always stayed with him. So he didn't buy into the fear. He didn't feel, yes, it's horrible to hear these things, but if we sit around saying, you know, talking about the horror of it all day, rather than saying, to yourself or to your family, let's pray for these people.
Absolutely.
Let's do something that we actually can do instead of just watching the news all day long and, you know, and feeling victimized and feeling the fear. Stand up, get on your knees, pray for these people. It makes a difference. So thank you for saying that, because I would have kept my lights on, too, and prayed, and that's what we're doing now.
Oh, good. Darlene, you know, I right now I feel like I'm standing with the children on high country, and what they most want to see is the whole earth lit up in their honor. None of them would want the earth to turn into darkness because
exactly.
of what happened to them. Not a single little angel would want that.
Exactly.
And another, one last thing I would like to say before we go into our blessing, which we need to move into very quickly, is, my friends, there is a big difference between victim consciousness and the true experience of being a victim. Let's face it, at times we actually do experience being a victim, or we witness others being a victim. There are victims, but victim consciousness does not help the victim. It doesn't help us. It only perpetuates the victimhood. What we need to be in is the consciousness of love, so that we can help heal the victims that have fallen into the pathway of some deeply unfortunate experience, that we can be the solution and not the perpetuation of the problem. I don't think anyone who has ever truly been a victim wants others to hold victim consciousness. It's only people in victim consciousness that try to perpetuate that, because it's so insane. It's an incomprehensible way to be. Why would anyone want to be in victim consciousness when love is who you are and you are actually created in the image of God? Be who you are. Receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Walk with Yeshua. And all you have to do is read the Gospels to see that he walked daily among victims who were as totally persecuted as any of these children and parents. His land was being decimated. People were dying of leprosy and hunger, abandonment, abuse, beating, torture, crucifixion. He walked among victims, and never did he take on victim consciousness once. And the victims, the actual victims, found hope in him and healing in him and courage in him. And the ones who perpetuated the victim consciousness were the ones who exploited the situation for their various doctrines or politics or political agendas. So be very mindful of the difference. And that's my admonition to all of you today. Because, yes, we do have victims. And it's our job to rise to the responsibility to love and care and heal, to contribute to their recovery, and to be there compassionately when only grief is appropriate. But it is not our job to take on the mantle of victim consciousness and allow the darkness to then come over the earth. That is not our job. It is not our right action. And it is not what Yeshua would want. So, with that, and a smile in my voice, because I don't want to leave you with the admonitions of a Victorian father. The children would want us to laugh.
and they would want us to enjoy Christmas on their behalf and to light a candle for them. And those of you who would like to celebrate their life, I would recommend that you light candles for them. I think they would really, really like that. Or perhaps string some lights with 30 lights on it. I think they would love that. Or some decoration that has 30 lights on it. I think they would just love that. Or give 30 presents to Goodwill. Or 30 presents to needy children. That would be my joyful recommendation. And I think that's what would help their hearts rejoice if you would do that. And we shall be doing that. We shall be distributing also, if you would like to share your gifts through us. So let's begin with our blessing, and let's begin with a joyful heart. Let's begin knowing that in the midst of all things that could challenge our faith, it is courage that will see us through. It is joy that will take us to the next sunrise. And it is love that will lead the way. Be seated with your shoes and socks removed. Your head pointed to the heavens. Your hearts opened. Your mind set aside on the park bench. And just be in your heart with the joy of the presence of the Lord. And I ask you to pray however your heart would pray, according to the love that it is, according to all that it would feel, for giving, sharing, charity, love, and honor in this season of great meaning and great sacredness. Yeshua, thank you for being with us and celebrating with us all the children we love. We love the child in you that was born to this earth, that you might walk among us as one of us, to always be with us as one of us. And let us remember that you came as a little child, and you lived in great joy during times of great hardship, taking unto yourself nothing but peace, joy, love, and hope for the world. Thank you for calling all the children into our heart, that we may love them all, and in so loving them, we may love the child within ourselves, and remember all the great joys and the innocence of childhood. We thank you for all the children that have come before, all of those in heaven, and all of those that shall come in the future and grace our earth with joy. We thank you for this season in which we celebrate that very precious state of innocence, love, and joy. Help us to keep that sense of celebration, regardless of events around us, and to light candles for all of those who need candles lighted. We ask that you heal everyone who has been wounded by this horrible event in Connecticut and the slaughtering of children in China and the mall in Portland and all of the other acts of vicious conduct. For these acts of vicious conduct come and go, but it is the heart and love of God that is immortal. Help us to remember that and to find our place within your immortality. Thank you for blessing all of us, that we may be beacons of light in a world that could be bent on darkness. Help us always to choose the light and to be the love that we are. Amen. The energetic conveyance is complete. Now go rest, assimilate, and allow it all to become part of your body, heart, soul, and being. God bless you. Until we speak again, and much love.